again, Mean Gene Okerlund from WWE, and hey, you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
Are you ready to be the man? You have to be the man. What you gonna do when Hulkamania destroys you?
The kid, you dig that sucker!
Have a nice day! The champ is here!
With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
Welcome, everybody, to another wrestling podcast. I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And I'm Steve Credo.
Steve, this is episode 59. I just would like to take a moment to say, suck on that, everybody who thought we wouldn't get past episode number one. We are on the road to the New England Fan Fest. We cannot wait to be there. And we will be speaking with two people today, one of which will be joining us live at the Providence, Rhode Island Convention Center. Steve, who will be on the show today?
That's right, Jonathan. Joining us is the legendary Gene Okerlund. Mean Gene Okerlund, the guy behind all the interviews of yesterday. Jonathan, can't say enough about Mean Gene. He's in the house today. He's also going to be in the house at New England Fan Fest. Guys, newenglandfanfest.com. Gene's going to be there, but also joining us is from WPIX in New York City. We have Scott Stanford, who's also a mainstay on the WWE, who's also a man behind the mic, if you will,
Gene. But let's get right into it. I mean, let's talk about the interview, Jonathan. I mean, do you have any memories? I mean, the biggest we can go back to is the one and only Mean Gene Okerlund with his, you know, vintage interviews with Hulk Hogan backstage, especially Hulk Hogan. I mean, he did everybody else, but you know what I mean? To where, you know, that was the guy. He was the man backstage getting these exclusives. And, you know, he was part of the show as just as anybody else was, and he was probably a bigger rock star than some of the wrestlers were.
Yeah, you know what? This is what I don't want to say wrestling lacks today, but I was such a fan of the 80s and wrestling in the 80s and all of that. So to see the interviewers backstage, it made it gave it more realistic element of it. It almost seemed like it was a news, you know, like a news broadcast. And when Mean Gene was there, you knew something was about to go down. So I would say that my favorite event growing up when I was little was Royal Rumble, and Mean Gene was constantly backstage, and I don't know how he did it all, but he ran around and he talked to everybody. One episode of the Rumble that I guess they really weren't episodes, but one that I remember the most was when Ric Flair won the championship, and it was at 92.
Yep.
And you know, it was like a special moment. And if you watch the YouTube clip or whatever, someone's smoking backstage, and he like yells at him to like put that cigarette out. Like, he was so professional, and it was just like amazing to see. And then, you know, that's when Ric Flair gives like one of his classic promos, and he says like, with a tear in my eye, it's the greatest day of my life. But definitely look up some classic Mean Gene, you know, Mean Gene interviews from that era.
Well, I mean, well, he was the originator. I'll pretty much safe to say. I mean, granted, there's guys doing it back in, you know, the old school days, and we're not going to get into it, but let's just talk about the most famous ones that everybody could at least remember this day and age. Mean Gene. After Mean Gene's era kind of came to an end when he went to WCW, they had, I like to call them like the 90s boys. You know, Sean Mooney, Todd Pettengill. You know, they had great voices. I love seeing what they had to say and what was going on backstage. Any memories of them, Jonathan? I mean, they kind of took over where Mean Gene left off, and you know, they had their own ways of doing things, I guess.
Yeah, Sean Mooney to me was like just your like clear cut, like all American interviewer. Yeah. He, you know,
no jokes, nothing. He was just straight on telling you like it is, you know. And yeah,
I think his hair, like in a hurricane, would have not moved either. It was just like this one, like. Yeah,
he's a great voice though. A lot of these guys had great voices. You know, he was like, you could listen to him. He's like your favorite uncle. He's telling you what's happening backstage and, you know, what's going on. And, you know, no shenanigans with this guy. So Sean Mooney was a classic one. But even Todd Pettengill is still to this day one of the DJs in New York City. And even then, I think he still did some stuff while he was doing WWE stuff, kind of like Scott Stanford is doing WPIX in the city, and he's also doing WWE stuff. So it's great to use radio personalities sometimes and guys that, you know, are on the media. Like Todd Pettengill, you know, he was on the radio and did all that stuff, and they used him for WWE. And I was a fan of his. I didn't really hate him. He made the show enjoyable.
Yeah, Todd Pettengill, like a quick story, obviously, I always talk about when I first moved up here, but I was driving to work one day and I turned on the radio and all of a sudden I hear this voice, and it's pretty unmistakable as a wrestling fan, and it was Todd Pettengill. And at that time he was on the radio with, it was Scott and Todd in the morning. And they, you know, he didn't, like, he's not hiding from the fact that he was wrestling or anything. So they talked about it and stuff. So it was just great to hear. But Todd Pettengill to me was like kind of a hybrid, I guess. He knew everything there was to know about wrestling. So yeah, it made you believe whatever he said.
Sure.
But he was also kind of from the, like, the 90s where he had, like, he still had a mullet, which is classic. I implore you all to look that up as well. But, like, he was very charismatic. You know, it was more like a part of the show instead of just, like, I'm an interviewer. Like, he was more of
that. He broke the mold a little bit of being, like, the guy with the classic bow tie. Like, Sean Mooney was a classic tie guy and Mean Gene tie. You know, he was wearing, like, the 90s outfits kind of thing. And, you know, he wasn't as dressy of what he was doing. Hosted the Slammies, all that kind of thing. You know, he was good. I didn't hate him, though.
He was a big part of the, like, In Your House pay-per-views.
Yep, and that's right.
Even, I think, the In Your House DVD that WWE put out a couple of years ago, he actually hosted, which is great because a lot of times when they're locked into, like, a contract for, you know, being on the news or whatever, they can't do a lot of other outside media. And I think that that's one of the cool things is that, you know, you don't hear a lot about them. They don't ever bring these guys back for these, you know, old school Raws or anything, which they probably should.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. So we went through the 80s a little bit. Mean Gene went through the 90s a little bit. Let's get into the 2000s or whatever you want to call it. I mean, you had Jonathan Coachman, who kind of did backstage, who also participated a lot more than any other kind of backstage interview guy, where he got in the ring and messed around a little bit too. That was the Attitude Era mostly. Do you remember Jonathan Coachman? I mean, he's on ESPN nowadays talking, but you know, back then he ran around, he got in the ring, he did some stuff too that no other guy before him even did as much, at least. So he was a little bit different. He had a good voice. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He's, like you said, he's still in sports today, like a lot of these guys are.
Yeah, Coachman was pretty cool in the sense that when he first came in, you didn't really know what you were going to get from Coachman. And, you know, he had some classic, you know, I don't want to call him, well, I guess run-ins with The Rock, where Rock called him names and kicked him and all that stuff. But he also got to kind of, like you said, he was in the ring a lot. And really became a big part of the company right up until he left, and now he works for ESPN. And I would like to see Coachman come back, if nothing else, for just a couple of, you know, even if it's just for a couple of nights or whatever, it would be cool to see him. But
that's right. So, Jonathan, Scott Stanford will be joining us in a few minutes. But for everybody listening out there, Jonathan, let's talk a little bit about Scott before he comes on. Guys, if you don't know who Scott Stanford is, you can check him out on WPIX 11. He does the sports on there. Witty, humorous, a real fun guy, just entertaining overall. And for wrestling fans, you know, he does a lot of the promos, a lot of the pre-show stuff, Jonathan, which we see him on. He's a hilarious guy, but I mean, he's here right now. I don't want to get too much into it without him. So, Jonathan, let's welcome Scott Stanford.
All right. It's very rare that we have an on-air personality better than us on the show, but today we may have met our match. He is the 2002 and 2003 recipient of the AIR Award, which recognized him as the best radio sports anchor in New York City market, as well as a New York Emmy award-winning sportscaster for on-air camera achievement. Oh, and he is a mainstay with the WWE. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Scott Stanford.
Well, that was some introduction. I mean, I don't know if I'm better than you guys, but that was a very nice introduction. By the way, you forgot just this past Saturday, picking up my fifth Emmy award
five times.
Sports Anchor here. Anyway, I don't know if you guys wanted to mention that. I figured I'd bring it up anyway.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
Good, guys. Glad to be on with you today.
Well, you said it. You know, congratulations on winning yet another New York Emmy Award this past Saturday for your work with Pix 11 News. It's not every day we have an Emmy Award winner on the show. How does it feel to be recognized on such a large scale?
Oh, you know, it's great. It was funny when I won the award. I was up against three other guys who are huge names in New York: Al Troutwig, who's part of Madison Square Garden; Bob Lorenz, who's on the YES Network; and Bruce Beck, who's been a big sportscaster in New York on NBC. You know, I know all those guys, were all friends. And when I actually went up and accepted the award, I said, if this was the Academy Awards, it was almost like those three guys are, you know, Denzel Washington, Al Pacino, and Robert De Niro, and I'm like the Shia LaBeouf of the group. So it was a big deal for me to beat those guys, and it was a lot of fun. The only thing I don't have right now is a Slammy Award, and that's what I'm trying to get.
Wow. Well, you must be reading our mind, because you've won a lot of awards, but one still eludes you. When do you think you'll be bringing home the only award that matters, the WWE Slammy?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, maybe with the Raw pre-show with Otunga and Graves, one of these days we can win a Slammy Award. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't think anyone in WWE, you know, Otunga is the only Harvard Law School educated superstar. I'd be the only guy who won an Emmy and a Slammy in one career, which would just be phenomenal.
Well, I write you in every year, so let's hope that counts.
I appreciate that.
All right, well, let's back up a little bit. Can you give us some background briefly on how you became an award-winning sports anchor that you are today?
Well, you know what, guys? I've been, I wanted to be a broadcaster since I'm a little kid. I mean, I was born with a microphone in my hand, and, you know, I was always doing talent shows at school and pretending to be. You talk about WWE. When I was 13, 14 years old, I have a video, I think, which is still up online, of me interviewing my brother. He was this character, Starman. I was Mean Gene. So when I was younger, as a huge wrestling fan, I didn't want to be a WWE superstar. I always wanted to be Vince. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be the guy interviewing the people on the side of the ring and the superstars and doing the play-by-play. But I did my thing, and I broke into local radio in the New York market. Luckily, I never had to go out of town like most people do. I broke in on radio in the suburbs of Manhattan, and that was my out-of-town experience. And then one thing led to another. I ended up on WCBS 880 here in New York, and it turned out that the news director at Channel 5, Fox 5 in New York, was a big fan of mine, listening to me every day. So he offered me an audition. I went in, auditioned for him, and it was an all-shtick audition. And I was singing Brady Bunch songs and doing poems and things. I just did it offbeat, you know, and different than what you normally see someone do as an audition. The guy hired me on the spot, and I ended up at the UPN and the My Network affiliate here in New York, which was owned by Fox 5. And when SmackDown started on the My Network, I was the guy that they elected to cover WWE for the entire My Network across the country, because I was the local guy and WWE is obviously here in the tri-state area. And one thing led to another, and I got to be real friendly with the PR guys up there. And lo and behold, one day they were looking for a studio host, and it was almost like I was already working for them, because I was covering them every week for when SmackDown would go off the air. All the news stations that would come on at 10 o'clock would want to run a WWE piece to keep the audience who was watching SmackDown. So that's kind of how I got involved with all that stuff. So one thing led to another, and it's one of those things where you gradually move up and move up and move up. And, you know, here I am. I'm still trying to move up, but things are working out pretty well so far.
All right.
Well, when I think of great sports anchors, two names come to mind. You, Scott Stanford, and Champ Kind. From Anchorman. So how do you think you stack up against Champ?
Good old Champ, huh?
Yeah. I've had
a few Anchorman experiences in my life. Believe me, when something comes up on the prompter you're not ready for it, you actually go ahead and read it. It's pretty funny.
Do you have a catchphrase kind of like whammy that you like to use a lot?
Nah, you know what? I just steal everybody else's stuff and throw it in. You know, we have a we have a legendary weather guy here at Fix 11. His name's Mr. G. He's been on the air in New York since I'm a little kid. And he's usually just the brunt of all my jokes every night. So have fun with him. And, not one catchphrase. I pretty much just kind of steal it all.
Right. Now, being from a wrestling hotbed like New York, you had to have been a fan of wrestling growing up, right? Or who were some of your favorites?
I was an absolute fan of wrestling. Like I said, my brother and I used to do stuff on video. I pretend I was Mean Gene. Growing up, even before the first WrestleMania, when there was once a month, the big matches every month were at Madison Square Garden on Monday nights, once a month on closed circuit TV. And you would never see, you know, the guys back in the day, like Bruno Sammartino and Pedro Morales and Andre, you would never see those guys wrestle on TV like we do, you know, now where you see them every week. They would always save those guys to wrestle on those Monday nights once a month at Madison Square Garden. And my dad used to take us there. There's a place down here called the Westchester County Center, which they still go to on live house shows once in a while. It's a small little venue. My dad used to take us there. I used to see Ivan Putski, the Polish Power, and Andre the Giant. And it was, you know, you're right up close because it's like a 2,000-seat little arena here. But I, you know, Johnny Rods, SD Jones, all those guys who used to lose every week. We used to emulate those guys. My brother and I would wrestle all the time in the house. He'd get me in the Boston Crab and the Camel Clutch, till I started crying. And it was just, you know, wrestling was the thing in our house. And again, Vince McMahon interviewing the wrestlers on the side of the ring, like we used to see when we were kids, that was the guy who I wanted to be.
Now, you've become a permanent fixture in WWE as of late. So what's your favorite part about working with the WWE?
Well, you know what? Fortunately, I've been there now 6 years. You know, it's funny because when I first started, I was working in the studio. And, you know, the way it works with WWE is you can get a phone call at any time to do anything, whether it's a month from now or tomorrow. And one day, I get a call. I was at NBC, Channel 4, New York, doing my weekend shift. I get a call from our boss at WWE. He says, hey, can you get to Wichita, Kansas on Monday? You know, we'll set up the plane. He says, can you get there? I said, yeah, sure. What am I doing? I don't know yet. Just go. So I show up in Wichita, Kansas. I show up to the arena. I'm hanging out backstage with everybody. And it's, I think, 4 o'clock. The show starts at, Superstars would go on the air, I think, at 7 or 7:30. And I get a phone call, put your tie on, you're doing Superstars tonight. And I was like, I'm sorry, say that again? Put your tie on, you're doing Superstars tonight. You're calling Superstars with Jerry the King Lawler. And I was like, holy, you know what? Ran to the computer. You know, you wait for the match card to come out, get all your information, and next thing I know, I'm doing Superstars with Jerry the King Lawler. And I ended up doing Superstars for 2.5 years, and I got to partner up with CM Punk for a couple of weeks, and Josh Matthews at the time, and Matt Stryker, and that was my favorite part. Being on the road, doing the live shows, because nothing better than walking out into the arena. And, even though it's Superstars, you're the first thing that people see that night. So anyone who's introduced, they go nuts. So it was always fun walking out, doing the live show, doing the pay-per-view pre-shows with Stryker once a month. It's such a big rush when you have the people, you know, the directors are in your ear. You're calling the matches, you got to get out on time. And it's just really, it's almost like a high being out there and doing that stuff. But now that we have the network, there's going to be a lot more live programming going on. The Raw pre-show, which we do at 7:30 on Monday nights, is a lot of fun. We have here's a little inside information, which isn't really inside information, but we have a new set coming out really soon, which may or may not start this week. It's just a really cool virtual set that they built at the WWE headquarters. And I do a lot of pre-tape things that air around the world, which I'll go up to Stamford, Connecticut, and knock out in 2 days. I do this week in WWE, and you know, shows that are on in 37 countries. So it's just, I've had a chance to do every aspect so far. So I know that whatever they call me to do, whatever they need me to do, I'm always ready to go. And you know, you always have to be ready when they offer you up that chance, because sometimes you only get one chance to do it. And if the people at the top like what you did, they'll continue to use you. If not, they'll always find somebody else. And that's just the way it works, you know, in any broadcasting business.
Sure. Now, we constantly hear about wrestling schools popping up here and there, but rarely do we hear about a school opening up for people interested in being a commentator or not, or on-air personality. Any chance we may see the Scott Stanford School for people interested in becoming a commentator or on-air personality anytime soon?
You know, it's funny because I've often thought of doing that, of opening up like a broadcast performance school. You know, maybe when I'm done with this, I could do that. But I know, you know, just like with the superstars down at NXT, when they find people that they like to be broadcasters, they'll work, you know, with folks. I know when Tom Phillips first broke in and Renee first broke in, you know, they would go down to NXT and they would work with Michael Cole and JR and folks like that would go down and work with them. So I know it's a great opportunity to do that. If you know, it's so hard to get in the door. I mean, there's only so many opportunities to go around, but you know, if you're persistent and you stay at it, you know, it pops up and they know when people are ready to roll. So they'll work with you down there. I know they have a couple of guys down there now, you know, Jason Albert, Alex Riley was doing it for a little bit. So, you know, it's not the easiest thing in the world. And believe me, what Michael Cole does every Monday night is a lot harder than he makes it look. And I've never seen anybody do it better than him and JR and Vince back in the day. It is really hard to sit out there for 3 hours and be excited and make it sound like, you know, half the time you don't even know what Cole, you may not even know what he's saying, but he makes it sound exciting.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Even if you're not really listening, he makes it sound exciting. Mm-hmm. So it's harder to be an announcer because there's less announcers than there are superstars. So
yeah.
It's a very tough business to break into, but I would never tell anybody not to do it if that was something they really wanted to do.
Well, there's some other exciting news is that SummerSlam is actually invading in your backyard this August. So are you looking forward to being part of the biggest party of the summer?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm excited about the Barclays Center because not only that, but Pix 11 on Friday, this Friday morning, we have to we're cutting the ribbon on a Pix 11 studio at Barclays Center because Pix 11 in New York has a huge partnership deal with Barclays Center. So it's you know to bring you know both companies I work for are going to be there for that for that weekend. So I'm looking forward to it. And it's funny because you know, as part of our marketing deal, my picture comes up once in a while at the Barclays Center. Unfortunately, the Nets are out of the playoffs and the Islanders don't start yet, so there's nothing really going on there sports-wise. I think SummerSlam at Barclays is going to be great. I'm sure they'll have the fan access going on outside. That whole area in Brooklyn, they've built up so nicely with the restaurants, and it's a beautiful place to be right now. And the Barclays Center itself is phenomenal. So, SummerSlam at Barclays, it is going to be a wild 4 days, I can tell you that.
Lightning round.
The next big thing in the WWE.
I think you saw him the other night, Sami Zayn.
Okay, what are the whereabouts of Rot Stanford?
I think he's still at a rehab center in Vegas.
Zack Ryder.
The thing that comes to mind with Zach is untapped talent.
Okay. Dolph Ziggler.
Very, very tapped into talent. Greatest, one of the greatest performers I've ever seen.
Tough Enough,
going to be a great show. I always tell people, I know this isn't one word, but I see a lot of auditions online. You got to come with that personality. Got to come with the person. A lot of people think they have it, and when you watch the videos, it's kind of like, oh, womp, womp, womp. You got to bring that personality for Tough Enough.
All right. Now, you've been working with Otunga and Corey Graves a lot lately, but who would your dream announce partner be?
Oh, my dream announce. Well, I'll tell you what. I really had a good time working with CM Punk.
Okay.
Great time with Punk. I mean, I guess if I had to pick one guy to actually do something with on a play-by-play level for WWE, love to do Vince back in his heyday or Jesse the Body.
What would your wrestling name be?
I think my wrestling name, it's funny, when I think wrestling names, immediately I go to adult film star names, and I think, you know, maybe Hugh Jorgen. Can we say that? Can we say that on the air?
We can say it. I think so. Well, you just did.
We just
so.
Said it. So,
yeah. Now entering the ring at 220 pounds.
Well, Scott, we barely scratched the surface today with you. We really appreciate your time tonight. And where can fans follow you and keep up with you on social media?
My Twitter is @ScottStanford1. And that's really it. I do the Facebook stuff, but that's really just for kind of friends and family. So really @ScottStanford1 is the place to go. Anyone can contact me there.
All right. Well, we really appreciate your time tonight, Scott. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, thanks a million. Anytime you want to do this again, let me know.
Well, once again, we'd like to thank the Emmy Award-winning Scott Stanford, hopefully soon to be a Slammy Award-winning Scott Stanford.
What a voice, man. I really got to practice and train my voice to be just like Scott. Yeah. I mean, he's got that, you know, that crisp, you know, entertaining voice, and that's why he does what he does, I guess.
Yeah, I wish that I could get like a bunch of books on tape by Scott Stanford. So that would be amazing. You know, we talked a lot about these different announcers or backstage interviewers, if you want to call them that. And I remember there was kind of a shift after, you know, Coachman and all that. You kind of got some of the people that you wouldn't necessarily ever think would be a part of, you know, WWE. They weren't straight laced like Sean Mooney. They weren't, you know, as out there as Todd Pettengill, and they weren't, you know, they didn't look like Coachman, who could, you know, double as a wrestler or whatever. So you had people like Josh Matthews, mm-hmm. who actually tried out to be a wrestler on Tough Enough.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you had people like Kevin Kelly, who had a great voice, but you just, you know, you knew he was never going to get involved in any.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrestling, and then all of a sudden, you saw the guy who we have today is Michael Cole. He was the butt of every joke. DX like threw him in the shower, gave him wedgies, flicked his ear. So, you know, I don't want to say that this was an era where you kind of lost respect for the backstage interviewers, but I think that they kind of use them as props.
Yeah, definitely.
Really.
It was kind of coming out of, like, you know, a serious times, and, you know, with Michael Cole especially around that time, it was attitude error meets, you know, like a lot of humor and stuff backstage. So they didn't have to compete with WCW anymore. So they're just getting away with a lot of other stuff now, since there's really no one to compete with ratings. So you had like the funny stuff with Michael Cole. So, I mean, I guess he paid his dues to where he is now, and we can kind of take him more seriously. But one of my favorites, Jonathan, I think, where he doesn't get credit as much as he should, is Matt Stryker. Now, Matt Stryker also did commentary. He also did a lot of backstage stuff, working with NXT. He's a wrestler. You know, he's done pretty much every job, but I think he is a great interviewer. He knows what he's talking about. He knows the history. The man does his homework. And he was just always a great guy to listen to on commentary. It's a shame that, you know, they let him go, especially out of anybody they could let go. You let go a guy who, like, knows your company, knows your business, knows the history. And it's a shame sometimes to where, you know, you get rid of people like that, to where he actually helped the product, in my point of view. But he was just always a good guy to listen to. I don't know. It's just one of my favorites I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, with Matt Stryker, he was just kind of, once again, they switched everything up again. He was kind of like the hybrid of the new decade, because he knew everything about wrestling, and he made you believe it, and he gave realism to the sport that I really, really enjoy. So Matt Stryker is an amazing color commentator, and I know that him and Vampiro have been doing some commentary together lately, so I'm very excited to see what the future holds for Matt Stryker.
Definitely. Now, Jonathan, we talked about a lot of the past, a lot of the present, but the future right now, I think everybody loves, is this Renee Young. Never, I guess, in the past, has there ever been a girl interviewee kind of like her? I mean, I'm really scratching my head and trying to think, but nobody really stood out. And if there was, you guys correct us. Let us know. That's what the whole point is about. But yeah, I mean, she's doing a great job. She's great on the mic. She's a great interviewer. She knows what she's talking about. She's also dating Dean Ambrose. But that's beside the point. But you know what I mean? I think it's definitely helping them and their product out by, you know, coming out of the dark ages and, you know, stepping out into the limelight. You know, it's 2015. You can do what I can do. She can do what you can do, you know, kind of thing. So, I mean, having more of an open field of not just this plain guy in a suit being the backstage guy. You have this blonde, attractive looking girl that's, you know, doing the backstage stuff, you know, and she's good at it. I mean, what do you think about Renee Young?
There are not enough adjectives, good positive adjectives that I can say about Renee Young. She is amazing. She, you know, I don't think that she was ever... You know, she's been a fan of wrestling, but like, you know, a lot of these other people, she came from a broadcasting background. So obviously she knows how to talk and all that stuff. But every time that I hear her, or she's constantly getting better, but it just sounds like she's talking, like having a conversation with you. And that's what's missing. And she's very excited about the product. So, you know, like we're talking about things. And sometimes if we had to talk about, you know, the Chavo Guerrero,
yeah,
maybe we wouldn't be, because it's not our favorite thing to talk about right away or whatever, it may kind of impact what we sound like. But with her, she can make, you know, a funeral sound fun, I guess.
Yeah,
is like,
yeah,
the worst
go.
thing. But yeah, I think she's the future, and I really hope that she gets beyond backstage interviewer. I hope that she does commentary. I
definitely
really think that she deserves it. So
definitely. And I mean, you know, like there's a lot of girls on like ESPN and stuff, and I've seen them, and honestly, when you look at them and how they present themselves, it almost comes across as, I'm just doing this because I want to be famous, I'm good looking, so they're going to put me on this and that's it. Her, on the other hand, I think when she came in, they didn't really use her good looks at first. You know, they didn't really flaunt it, if you want to say. You know, she came in, and then she, you know, she got the audience. She captured them just by being herself, being friendly, being a real person. And, you know, then they're like, well, she's got some sex appeal. So, you know, now she's wearing mid-cut shirts or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, they're doing all that stuff. But still, it's nothing like degrading or anything. You know, she's a great personality to have, long story short. And, you know, that's the future of the commentary, the backstage interview, Jonathan. You know, it's evolving. It's, you know... women are now coming about and, you know, taking their rightful place in the spotlight. And she's showing the world pretty much what she can do. So, I mean, a lot of great things on this show, Jonathan. We talked about the past, the present, the future of interviewing, you know, the lost art of the interview. It's the glue that, you know, keeps the business together.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing, like, the new crop because of social media and because of all the things that, you know, are changing within the wrestling business. I think that it's an ever-evolving sport, and I think it'll be cool to see some of the people that have great passion for professional wrestling get to be a backstage interviewer instead of, you know, just somebody that they pluck out of obscurity in some place. I mean, we've seen how bad that can go, so it'll be great to see the future, like we said, beyond Renee Young. But right now, joining us live is WWE Hall of Famer Mr. Mean Gene Okerlund. On today's show, we are turning the tables. We are about to interview the interviewer. He has seen it all in his long and storied career. His interviews are legendary, and he is one of, if not the most recognizable announcers in the history of professional wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us welcome Mr. Gene Okerlund.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I thought you were going to say Jim Ross.
Oh,
for
God.
A minute there, yeah. Please. Well, he's on a diet right now, so I'm not going to say too much.
Thanks for coming on the show, obviously. How are you doing today?
Didn't I just answer that question?
Well,
I'm doing fabulous. I'm doing fabulous. I've got 3 doctor appointments this afternoon. No, hold it. One of them's a barber.
So
no, I'm doing fine, guys. I'm kind of at the peak of my game. I've been playing golf a little more since the first of the year with the absence of a whole lot of travel. And, you know, once you get that handicap up high enough, you can make money.
There you go.
And isn't that what it's all about anyway?
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Right.
So, Mean Gene, professional wrestling has had its ups and downs as far as popularity over the years. What do you think about the current state of pro wrestling?
I think wrestling, for the 45 years I've been in it, has, even in that short amount of time, if you take a look at the big picture, has been very cyclical. I'm finding golf right now is very cyclical. You take a look at the guys that are on top, Spieth, Bodich, Kuchar, you know, guys, names we hadn't heard about 5 years ago. Well, much of the same, I think, is taking place right now in the WWE. I'm not going to say wrestling in general, because some of these territorial guys, both in and out of the country, have been there forever. But there has been a big change. The weight is off Cena's shoulders. The Rock is, you know, a once or twice a year commodity. Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up for a podcast now and then. And, you know, life goes on. All of those names are kind of now in the background. And we've got Reigns, we've got Ambrose, we've got all of these other guys. Sheamus is even, you know, got a pretty good rep right now on the road. They show up for this guy.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
Well, do you see anybody in the current landscape that you'd like to interview? You mentioned some people like Sheamus and Dean and Roman. Is there anybody that you'd really like to get to interview?
There are a ton of guys I'd like to get to interview that I want to get back at, actually, for them working me over the first time or two. But, you know, Eric Bischoff is a guy that I want to interview. I would think I'd like to interview. He's not with the company right now, but Albert Del Rio, and I know he's going to be at the New England Fan Fest. Lord knows I've interviewed Jimmy Superfly Snuka enough, and also Hulk Hogan, the late great Macho Man Randy Savage, who, by the way, was a classic in every sense of the word. So those are some of the guys I would like to, after his Hall of Fame speech, Larry Zbyszko, maybe I don't want to interview him right away. He'll give you a yes and no answer.
That's right. Now, Gina, you were part of pro wrestling's, you know, 2 big boom periods in the 80s and then in the Attitude Era. Do you think wrestlers today still have the same passion for the business as you saw in your interviews back then?
I think the wrestlers do, but you see, we're not doing interviews anymore, with the exception of Renee Young probably will do a 30-second soundbite with a piece of talent, but it's all scripted. The guys I talk to, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Hogan, Savage, all of these guys back in glory days in the mid-80s when I guess the landscape changed forever as we now know it with the advent of WrestleMania 1. Different deal today. These guys got handed a sheet put together by a writer and they memorize it or at least do the bullet points and that's the name of the game today. Much different. We did more great stuff by accident than these guys do on purpose.
Now, you just mentioned Renee Young. The WWE has a lot of great up-and-coming interviewers, announcers. Do any of them get the Mean Gene seal of approval?
Well, I'd have to say the only one I work with is Renee Young, but I mean, there's Scott Stanford. We've got a number of young guys that are going through either NXT or just going through the regulars are working up in the studio. And by the way, your home state of Connecticut. Why the hell am I doing an interview in Connecticut that's going to be taking place for an event in Providence, Rhode Island?
You know, I stranger things have happened. I guess that we just had to talk to you about this, and you know, it is in Connecticut. We're based out of New York, and you're going to be in Rhode Island. So it's just a crazy thing we're doing here.
Well, I'm going to be in beautiful downtown Stamford, Connecticut, this coming Wednesday. So if you get a chance, stop by for a drink. I'm not going to ask you to buy. I only will do that on your own.
Absolutely.
Right.
Now,
I see Renee Young's got a lot of talent, and she's got some assets that I would never have had. She's very attractive. She's got a big, beautiful set of eyes, and that really makes kind of the massage look. She's terrific.
Sure.
And Friday night after work, we get together, by the way, for a bump, too.
All right.
Cocktail.
Oh, okay.
Don't misread that.
Okay.
Now, Gino, you mentioned briefly about the New England Fan Fest happening June 27th in Rhode Island. You're going to be a part of it. You're going to be a part of, their super ticket guests and fans. You know, fans are going to be able to take photos and get autographs with you. What do events like these mean to you?
Well, I don't do a lot of them, so they mean quite a bit. I'm excited about talking to the fans and kind of hearing their story. They can hear mine, or they know it's on Wikipedia or virtually any site that you want to pick up today. But I don't know about the fans. Some guy is a truck driver from Milford. The other guy might be, a butcher from Boston. And, of course, I always like to talk to the ladies. They're real interesting. I think a couple of them had made a move on me.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Yeah, we'll kind of keep an eye on all of them to make sure that if things get...
No, I'm going to have security there. Don't worry about it.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
It has to be done in behind closed walls,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You might say.
Now, you're obviously a big part of WWE history, and you mentioned you get to do some stuff with the network, and we get to go back and relive classic Mean Gene moments as well as see some new ones. You were a part of the Legends of Legends House. How do you think that turned out, and would you ever want to do a second season?
Well, I don't think there'll ever be a second season for that particular cast.
Yes.
If you're going to do it, let's freshen it up, with new talent. Ted DiBiase, by the way, the Million Dollar Man, was not in the Legends House 1. And so were a whole lot of other guys. I thought we had a great crew, but at the end of a month and living with these guys day and night, 24/7, no cell phone, no TV, no radio, really didn't have a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Play little cards, and we could have a cocktail. But it's a pretty arduous, I would say, 30 or 35 days, day and night.
Okay.
They, honest to God, did not let you out of the place. And then they bring in celebrities like Adam West, Batman, the guy that is older than God. And we also had Gary Busey, you know him.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly and a lot of other things. And he's nuts. I'm sure he'll be certified so within the next 30 days. He was talking about me and Roddy Piper going over to the other side. What he was talking about was us dying, and we were talking about getting out of that joint for a day or two.
I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, you also were on the Legends of Wrestling. You were hosting for a while. Do you think that we'll get to see more of those shows in the future?
I'd like to take it back to that same format and do a couple of other things and probably cover more than one subject in the course of an hour and 15 or an hour and 20 minutes. I enjoyed doing the Legends of Wrestling just by virtue of the fact the guys you worked with. I worked with Jimmy Ross. I worked with Pat Patterson, with Michael Hayes, with, the guys that we brought in. Sergeant Slaughter was in. Piper was in for a while. We just had a lot of great ones that really could reminisce and really embellish on the old days. Made them sound better than they were.
Now, speaking
for what it's worth,
sure. And now, speaking of some legends, you know, you've literally interviewed them all from Ric Flair to Liberace. Did you have any personal favorites that you loved to interview?
I loved Liberace's roommate. No, I'm kidding. I had a lot of favorites, but they came in eras. I started in 1971, and back then it was a guy that I just did a eulogy for a couple of weeks ago, Vern Gagne, who was truly the first babyface to ever hit wrestling TV in the early 1950s. But then there was Crusher and Bruiser and Mad Dog Vachon, and later on, it was Nick Bockwinkel, the High Flyers. Hulk Hogan was a big surprise for me in 1980 or 81 when he first came to the AWA. He was not the greatest interview on the face of God's green earth. He was, as we call in the business, very green, both as a worker and as a communicator. But it didn't take long. He had Johnny Valiant as his manager to do the talking for him for, I would say, the better part of a month. And then he was gone, and Hulk was on his own, and he was great.
Yeah, and then also, on the flip side of that, who were some of the people you just didn't want to interview or didn't like to interview? Is there anybody you want to name? Or?
You mean boring people? Boring people?
Yeah.
There were, but some of them were linguistic differences, and when all of the Lucha Libres came into WCW in the 1990s, I had a little trouble with Juventud Guerrera, La Parca, and the likes of Rey Mysterio was quite good. Of course, he's from San Diego, as we know, with the 619 area code. But I really didn't have any that were real dullards. Some of the guys in WCW, Glacier was a little tough to get anything out of. So what we did there is we'd crank that down to about 30 or 40 seconds and get the message across that he was going to be facing Mike Graham or somebody else. And the guys that could talk, Ric Flair was entertainment, standing up or laying down. You couldn't deny this guy. I mean, God, he had heart attacks in the ring. And it was just great. I enjoyed working with him as much as anybody. But Hogan was the guy that really first teamed it up very big. Yeah. That's a phone. Don't even think about it. I can't find it anyway. That's right. On with our conversation.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever made this connection or not, but you, Shawn Michaels, and NXT wrestler Tyler Breeze have something in common. Well, actually, two things. Great looks, and you all sang your own theme song. So did you enjoy getting to sing Tutti Frutti?
Well, I did, because I sang that when I was a kid, one of my favorite songs. Back then, it was done by two people, originally Little Richard, and thereafter by the great Elvis Presley. And I'm sure a ton of people have done it since. But it's a great song. And by the way, Cyndi Lauper produced that little piece for us.
Oh, wow, nice. Now, you've had some ventures outside of wrestling, too. How did Mean Gene's Burgers and Burgers and Pizza come about?
Well, I came about through my nephew, who was the president of a food company that was a subsidiary of Schwann's, you know, the guys that drive around in the trucks.
Yep.
And they also have Red Baron and Tombstone Pizza and Tony's and all the good stuff you see in the supermarket.
Sure.
And they had a concept for a burger, but they didn't have anything they could really hang their hat on. And at that time, big names like Dave Thomas with Wendy's, Colonel Harlan Sanders with KFC, and other personalities were endorsing the products and doing much better than somebody on their own, with the possible exception of McDonald's and Burger King. And pizza, you know, It's run by personalities today. Papa John's. Generic, it would be Pizza Hut and a couple of others, but the name, the personality kind of drives the brand. So that's what we used it for. And at one point, we were up to 400, and I think we're down to about 120, but we've limited the failures. So it's a very volatile industry, and we're now both in college, university, and in military worldwide. And that is kind of the real big part of our business today. There's a few little mom and pops here and there, but not a big deal for us.
Okay. Now,
big deal for them, but not for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we talked about New England Fan Fest, and the day before the actual Fan Fest, you're going to be part of a VIP dinner that starts at 6 p.m. Tickets are still on sale for that right now. You're going to be joining some elite company the night. Such guests as Larry Zbysko, Zeus, Maria Kanellis, Jim Ross, Eric Bischoff, and Tony Atlas. Are you excited to catch up with some of these old friends?
Real excited to catch up with Tony. He was my roommate in the Legends house. That drove me nuts. He had noises coming out of every part of his body.
Now, you mentioned that you got to, you'd like to...
Hey, are we being censored here?
No, not at all.
You guys aren't beeping me out, are you?
Nope, no way.
Oh, okay. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of these guys. I saw Eric a couple of months ago. I look forward to seeing him. I also look forward to seeing Bill Goldberg, although I don't know if Bill is going to be at that Friday night dinner, but he's certainly going to be very present on Saturday. Another guy I want to see is, since he kind of got the spanking, would be Alberto Del Rio. Uh-huh. I like this guy, and I've just got a feeling that he is going to be back in WWE in short order. That is not anything that I know for certain, but it's my prediction. All right. And I predicted American Pharoah, so there you go. This guy can pick a winner. Howard Finkel. Who couldn't miss him?
Now, Gene, also on that Saturday night, you were going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by Howard Finkel. Are you happy about becoming a new Hall of Famer over there for the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I indeed am. And if you recall, I was the one that introduced or presented Howard Finkel into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's kind of in the announcing and celebrity wing with myself and a lot of guys. Schwarzenegger, Trump, they're all in there. You know, you wonder where they come from in wrestling. Hell, we even had Pete Rose inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think that was back in 2004 in New York. And he did tell me one thing. He confided. He never bet on wrestling.
Well, we also just found out that you're going to be part of a Q&A session hosted by Howard Finkel. So is there anything, I guess we shouldn't ruin this, but is there anything that you don't get asked by fans and that you've always wanted to talk about? Maybe we can start getting some good questions going here.
Well, there are a lot of things. Fans have got their own opinions of what happens in and out of the ring and with various personalities. There was a time when Hulk Hogan was booed out of the house. I don't know if you recall that, but how kind of the moods and the attitudes towards certain talent can change. There was a match between Paul Orndorff and Hulk Hogan. Guess who was the babyface? Orndorff. Hogan was the heel. I was there, knocked me right off my feet.
Lightning round.
Do you have a favorite adult beverage?
I have a favorite adult beverage. I like to have a Kettle One dirty with a blue cheese stuffed olive with a glass of ice water back. Don't vermouth. Don't poison the good stuff.
Your thoughts on Ric Flair?
The Nature Boy, a classic. Probably one of the all-time greats, especially in terms of longevity. He's in Europe right now, working one-nighters.
All right, how about Vern Gagne?
Vern Gagne was the guy that kind of started it all. He broke in. His main opponent was a gentleman by the name of Gorgeous George, who wore a robe, very much like a lady's house coat back then, and he carried bobby pins with him. Actually, Gorgeous George, this flamboyant guy with the atomizer spraying people and taunting them, was an introverted farm boy from Nebraska by the name of George Wagner. So there's a big difference in those two personalities.
Okay, what is your favorite memory of Bobby Heenan?
I got too many of them to share them, but we had some classic moments together. You know, he and I were dating at the same time, Mae Young and the fabulous Moolah. And we had a lot of fun with those gals, by the way. I'm sorry to say they're gone, but I had no part of that.
Yeah?
Yeah, they died of natural causes. I think the line was old age.
Yes.
Right.
All right, how about Vince McMahon?
Vince McMahon, pure genius and a workaholic. And that says it all.
Okay. Lastly, Mr. T.
Mr. T is a piece of human garbage. I inducted him also into the Hall of Fame a couple of years back. But, God, he wouldn't show up on time for appearances. He kind of went against the grain. One time we were going to do an interview, and he says, I can't do it, brother. I got to get up in that limo, get my head straight. And I says, well, that's a little bullshit for me, because I'm standing here with the microphone and ready to do it now. He did the interview.
Laying down the law.
All right,
well, you got to. Otherwise, I mean, some of these guys will do it when they want to or feel like it. And that's not the way we play the game.
There you go. Well, Mean Gene, we thank you so much for coming on. Where can the fans keep up with you these days? I know now everybody's into the social media universe with Twitter and Facebook. Is there places where fans can reach out to you or website?
Yeah, they can, both on Facebook and Twitter. And I, like you gentlemen, am talking to a major distributor of podcasts, but I wouldn't be able to start something like that until this fall. Just too much to do in the summer.
All right.
Too much fun to have.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, drinking and golfing. No.
Gene.
No, it's something I'm looking into right now, and that would be a possibility. It was brought up to me by some guys in Chicago that said, hell, you've talked to everybody. Why wouldn't you be doing the interviews now on a podcast?
There you go.
And I guess that was a legitimate question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But in the meantime, I'm going to have you cover for me.
Thank you.
And you're doing an excellent job. And getting to see, you know, the Jimmy Rosses, Bischoff, even James Cornette is going to be there.
That's right.
Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Snuka, Valentine, Scotty Hall, Razor Ramon, Melina is going to be there. John Morrison, I like this kid. I thought he had a hell of a lot of potential, and then he just kind of fell off the face of the earth. And then, of course, old-time friends like Howard Finkel, Zabisco, Tony or Tiny Mills, now known as Zeus. I saw him in San Diego with Dennis Rodman. Oof,
wow.
What a pair to draw to, yeah. Tony Atlas and two of my favorites, two of my all-time favorites in wrestling, Kelly Kelly and Diana Hart Smith.
Oh, yeah.
She's the widow of the late Davy Boy Smith. But she's got a son by the name of Davy Boy, Harry, but he's going to be there. Oh, Tatanka. Don't forget Tatanka.
That's right.
We'll be there.
That's right, you guys.
And I'm assuming you guys are going to run up.
Oh, yeah.
For both the VIP dinner and the festivities on Saturday.
We are going to be there.
Yeah, we'll see you there, Gene.
I'm looking forward to it. And guys, thanks for your time today.
I still cannot believe that we were just talking to Mean Gene Okerlund. I can't say how many times in my childhood that I want to be that guy. So thank you so much for joining us today. We cannot wait to talk to you live at the New England Fan Fest, and we will see you all there shortly, June 27th.
Community calendar.
And coming up on July 18th from 12 to 2 p.m., Tito Santana will be in Beacon, New York at Tito Santana's Taqueria. No relation. But guys, head on over to tacosantana.com. Head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Find out more information how you can meet and greet Tito Santana and get a free taco.
That's right, Steve. And we're also going to be at Northeast Wrestling's Wrestling Under the Stars for August 1st, 2015 in Fishkill, New York. You'll get to see such legends as Ric Flair, Mickey James, Alberto El Patron, Rey Mysterio Jr., The Young Bucks, Jerry the King Lawler, NXT's own Samoa Joe, Northeast Wrestling Champion Matt Taven, Brian Anthony, the genius Lanny Poffo, and much, much more.
We also have June 22nd, George the Animal Steel will be joining us, talking about some legends. And speaking of legends, Jonathan, as we are headed on our way to the New England Fan Fest, we're going to be talking to Jim Ross on June 25th, the weekend right before Fan Fest. Guys, so what a lineup. A lot of great guests coming up in the next few weeks. So make sure you subscribe to us and don't miss a show. It's easy, guys. Head on over, like Jonathan said, anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. Click on all the buttons on the top, all the links from iTunes to Stitcher to Player FM to TuneIn. We're out there. Like us, follow us, and subscribe to us. And Jonathan, if you're looking for some clothes to wear and you don't really have anything to wear for a night out on the town, and maybe you're going to a wrestling show and you just need a new shirt, well, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/anotherwrestlingpodcast. Pick up some original AWP shirts.
We want to thank all of our fans and listeners out there. So tune in next week for
Another Wrestling Podcast.